This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKN.
Thirty-six minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Chevron. What a weekend. So many things to unpack, and we're still on this Colorado State and Northern Colorado game. What a game it was. Joining me now, Justin Michael with DNVR Rams. We're working on it. You need his number? I gave it to you. Let's see here. I don't know if I can give it to you right now, Mike. I saw you write it down. I mean, so Michael is scrambling here right now. Okay, I just shared it with you on your cellular device. Apparently was trying to call somebody else. And we're talking with Justin about this. So nice one. Nice one, Mike. He called Benjamin Albright. You wanted to talk Broncos so badly, you just called
our Broncos
insider that is on the show Friday. And knowing that we have Justin, we're going to talk to Justin now with DNVR Rams. Wow. But this game was, it was disappointing in so many ways. I mean, it almost feels like two losses. I keep saying the loser won, the winner lost, but CSU, I mean, it almost feels like a loss. And for the Bears, it is a loss. You're 1-1 on the season. It's a weird... Week two is a weird week. And I'm not making that as an excuse for CSU, but you saw that a lot kind of over the weekend, too. Joining me now, Justin Michael, DNVR Rams. Justin, my friend, what a weird night Saturday night was in Fort Collins.
Yeah, that the whole thing felt like a fever dream for sure. It was a whirlwind. I mean, a lot of emotions, obviously, on both sides. I think you got to credit the effort and the heart that UNC played with. Those guys came in and really outplayed CSU for the majority of the game. The Rams had some, you know, fortune at the very end in terms of the replay review and all that. But, yeah, just a really weird game altogether.
What is your take on it? I mean, I think there's a lot of people now seeing the footage. Okay, maybe it was a catch, but I think we all, Bears fans, Rams fans alike, all kind of agree that if it was called one way, there was nothing conclusive enough to turn it over, and that's what happened. It was called a catch alive, and then they went and reviewed the play and called it incomplete.
I mean, based on the angles we saw on TV, it certainly felt inconclusive. I was very surprised they overturned it. I'll say that. I didn't believe he caught it just based on the way he fell. To me, it seemed logical that, you know, you're kind of trapping the ball against the ground there. But yeah, again, you know, it just felt like it was highly subjective, which if it's not, you know, conclusive, then they aren't supposed to overturn it. That said, I don't know if we know all the angles they saw. I mean, I posted another angle online to me where it does make it look like he did in fact not catch the ball. But I mean, that's one of the wonky things in football in general. It's funny, we kind of mentioned this on the podcast at the beginning of the year, but if somebody put a knife to your back and you had to succinctly define what is or what isn't a catch, could you do it? Because I cover football for a living, and I don't know if I could.
Yeah, no, it's always, depending on the game, it's always something kind of complicated. It's one of our favorite things to argue about, I think, in football. Is it a catch? Is it not a catch? But either way you want to slice this, I mean, Justin, I'm walking out of Canvas Stadium, and I'm listening, you know, I'm walking amongst Rams fans, and it did not feel like a Rams win. Not at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think aside from the controversial ending and all that, was it a catch, was it not, the fact of the matter is that for far more in this game than they were than otherwise, UNC was the better team. They came in and they significantly outplayed a team that has far more resources and, you know, really should have been able to handle that opponent. Not, I don't want to say easily. I think that's far too dismissive, but like it certainly should not have come down to that. And, you know, I've heard you talk about it, you post about it, but it was a game, I think, kind of a lot like the bowl and the CU games that really did a number in terms of the support that Jay Norvell has right now. And I've been a pretty big advocate of his, but there's really no defending that type of performance. You know, I look for an optimistic lens. I really try to find one, but it's tough to see the light through the trees right now.
So, I mean, how hot is Jay Norvell's seat at this point? I thought he was on somewhat of a hot seat to start the season. But then you have this performance against the Bears. I mean, Justin, what does he have to do to ensure that he's coming back next year?
I think it's hard to put a specific number on it. I also think we need to remember that while the optics of this matchup were very poor, the most likely outcome through the first 2 weeks was always going to be 1-1. So, like, from an objective standpoint, everything's still on the table for this team. They are exactly where they thought they would have been from a record standpoint. It's just, from an eye test standpoint, it's not enough. And that's been a pretty persistent thing, I think, really, the last couple of years. Like, even last year, you win 8 games. There's some style points, and that's where I feel like it's hard to set a definition outside of, like, you know, win the Mountain West. Obviously, that would be great for him. He's probably back if he does that. But it feels like these next 2 weeks coming out of the bye kind of set the tone for what the future of the season looks like, what the future of the program looks like. And, you know, like, if you're sitting there at 1-3, especially, I think outside of, like, pulling a miracle at that point and running the table, you know, beating Boise on the road, winning the league, and then something like that, if they don't come out these next 2 weeks at home in front of big crowds, you know, that's been the thing. The fan support's been there. And when the results are like this at this stage, it's not going to be enough for an administration that has higher aspirations. And with the move to the Pac-12 and all that, fair or not, like, the pressure is on, and I don't think that it can be a show me later type deal. Like, they need some style points, and they need them now.
Do you think, again, you've said you've defended Jay Norvell, and I have too, off and on this show. I've never been one that's bringing out the pitchforks. I've just not been that far. I will say, in my mind, I think he's an average to good coach that makes 2, 3, 4 really weird decisions a game, and a lot of times that costs him big. In your mind, is Jay Norvell a good coach?
Yeah, I think he's a good coach. I don't know if what we've seen to this point would make anybody believe he's a great coach. I think he's a great recruiter. I think he inherited a mess, and he's flipped the roster in a significant way, and you can see that in the trenches, and you can see it with the talent they have with guys like Dupree and all that. As far as the play calling and all that goes, I don't, you know, I think we can be a tad hypercritical, but I do think there's some quirky things. Like, I don't know, as much as I love the Bullock wrinkle, maybe you go to it a little bit too much. You're taking your quarterback on and off the field quite a bit, you know, like that can be an issue, you know, with him getting a rhythm and all that. And also it doesn't really seem like he calls the game like he trusts his quarterback. And if that's not the case at this stage, you know, with a third year starter, then I think it's fair to say, well, what exactly are we doing here then? And it's just been far too inconsistent has been the biggest issue. You see the flashes, and they have these moments, you know, where the offense kind of comes alive. A lot of the time it's on their tempo and down and end up doing some crazy stuff, like the Utah State comeback last year, or like Boise a couple years ago. But it's just far too erratic at this point. And I think that's a big part of why a lot of the fan base has a hard time kind of ever seeing them kick down that door and accomplishing more, because, you know, frankly, like, I still very much think a bowl is going to happen for this team. Is, you know, 6-7 wins, if that's what it ends up being, even if you beat Wyoming and Air Force, is that enough at that point? I don't know.
Well, and now this game, even though it was a win, this is not one of those. I don't believe, Justin, that at the end of the season you just look back and go, well, we won seven games. I still believe that one of those wins you're always going to look at and say it was against the UNC Bears in that strange way. Maybe not. Maybe by the end of this, they win some crazy games and they get enough goodwill. But it sure seemed like, at least from my standpoint, just what I was seeing on social media, that the shift from maybe 50-50 on Jay Norvell is like maybe 80-20 on the negative side.
I think it's going to be a pretty steep battle to, you know, reestablish any type of faith across the board. I think that's more than fair to say. I mean, the reality is, and like, while I still think long-term the best thing for CSU would be if it were to work out with Norvell, but it doesn't matter what I think. It's a results business, you know? I just think that it's tough to argue, like, when you look at two of the last three performances being the bowl game and then this UNC, like, those are two pretty massive letdowns this far into the tenure. That's tough, and the fans get tired of being told, you know, we're close. At some point, the results have got to be there, and that's really why I think these next couple of games are going to be massive, because I think with how heated people are right now, if they were to fall to 1-3, especially like if it's not even competitive against these teams who are formidable opponents, like, these are not easy matchups, these aren't gimme wins. You especially can't say that after how they looked in this past game. But even aside the fact, like, I would have said that had they blown out UNC, these next two games are going to be tough. If you fall to 1-3, I just don't know how you climb out of that hole. You might not even get the opportunity to do it in the first place. Could be in season. But also, like, even if they were to keep them around for the rest of the year, I just think outside of, like, pulling a miracle at that point, it would be pretty hard to sell the fans on, no, this is still an ascension and not, you know, I guess, stagnation.
Yeah. Justin Michael joining us, DNVR Rams. Okay, prediction time from you. Let's talk. Well, Jay, do you think he'll do enough to keep his job at the end of the season?
I really don't know, Brady. Coming into the year, I would have said fairly optimistically yes. After Saturday night, and maybe it's still just heat of the moment, you know, we're like 36 hours removed, but we're still in the thick of it. I think these next 2 weeks basically answer that for you, though.
How about Braden Fowler Nicolosi? Do you see him keeping his starting role? Coming up against UTSA, or do you think at some point this season he will be benched?
I certainly don't anticipate a quarterback change for UTSA. I'll say that. It's not impossible. I mean, we've seen Norvell do it before. He bailed on Millen to put a BFN in the first place. So it's not like he's scared of pulling the plug at some point. I will say, based on what I've seen in practice and, like, scrimmage settings, and we don't get to see every rep in practice, so that's, you know, a key distinction. But based on the stuff I've seen and compared to the other guys, Braden's the best option that they have on the roster right now. Darius Curry's not ready. Brousseau, from what I've seen, he throws a pretty ball, but, like, in the scrimmage settings, like, I just haven't seen him do a ton, like, to make me think, oh, man, like, that would be a spark. So I don't know. You know, I think anything's on the table. Norvell was certainly the most critical of him post-game that we've heard in quite some time. Like, he didn't throw him under the bus or anything, but was pretty forward with that he was missing reads and the turnovers. And I think a lot like what you could say with Jay, the pressure is on Braden to prove it here these next couple of games.
Yeah, well, it's just like that. 2 weeks in, pressure is ramped up, my friend. Justin, appreciate you, and we'll look to catching up with you down the road.
Much love, man. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Justin Michael, DNVR Rams. Big Hub texting in. Here's my thoughts on CSU. We need something changed immediately. Whether it's a new coach, better recruiting, or NIL money, we need something before we go into Pac-12. BFN with these mistakes is unacceptable as a vet, and for the touchdown, the Bears were juggling it, but CSU got the lucky end of the stick. I mean, it's like we talked about with Washington. Like, when as a Rams fan do you want more? And do you stop saying, yeah, it's Washington? Or in this case, UNC. Well, we still won. When do you get to the point where it's not, well, it's Washington? Or, yeah, win's a win. When do you say, hey, like, we got a beautiful freaking stadium that rivals a lot of great places in this country. CSU does. And when do you say, like, we have the resources, all that stuff, but not much to show for it?
The phrase, yeah, we still won, isn't a win.
No. No, this one doesn't apply. And I do think at the end of the season, let's say Jay Norvell wins 6 or 7. This is not where, hey, at the end of the season, you're going to look back and you're not even going to remember how those games went down. I guarantee you, 6 or 7, you get to 6, and it's not going to be, oh, well, we're 2 years in a row bowling. No, you're going to look at that and say, yeah, but one of those wins was a very questionable eke-out win against a UNC Bears team. Now, the Bears might go on and be a really good team, and that would be the formula thing, but being a really good team in the FCS is much different than where CSU is, but that would still help a little bit if the Bears go on to be South Dakota, or what is it, South Dakota State or North Dakota State. If they go on to be a team like that this year, then maybe it makes you feel a little bit better. I don't know that that's the case for the Bears. And I, like I said, dude, last week is learning week. This week, I'm more confused about CSU. Like, why were they competitive against Washington? Was it just a game one thing and Washington couldn't figure it out? Maybe. Looks like it today.
Certainly looks like a little bit of both.
Texter from 303, Brady, we deserve all the bad karma. We fired Sonny Lubick. It does seem like since they fired Sonny Lubick, CSU was, I mean, they had the Jim McElwain year. Like, it was up and, you know, he was there for 3 years. But his third year, wasn't that the 10, they won 10 games, and they're legit, but then he was gone. And that was short-lived. 11:52 the time. More on this, more on the Broncos, more on the Colorado Buffaloes. They ended up covering against Delaware, but that also did not feel like that big of a win. Something in the water here in the state, man. Is it basketball season yet? We'll be right back.
What's happening in your community? Greeley, Loveland, and Fort Collins, Good Morning NoCo is on it. Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.